Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the November 23rd, 2025 service at Plymouth, Christ the King Sunday. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
When life feels chaotic and the world unsettled, Jesus the King comes to meet us.
When nations battle and fear spreads,
Jesus the King comes to meet us.
When we struggle to feel safe or grounded, Jesus the King comes to meet us.
When leaders disappoint and even our closest relationships feel fragile, still Jesus the King comes to meet us.
So let us worship God, trusting in the hope we find in the coming of Christ.
Next is the hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Next is verse 1 of God of Grace and God of Glory.
Yes, please be seated. As we prepare to hear our morning's scripture reading, first from Jeremiah and later from Colossians, let us prepare our hearts, our minds for hearing. Holy God, you have spoken through the prophets, you've spoken through parents, you've spoken to us through your crucified Son. So still our hearts, quiet every other voice, so that by your Spirit we may hear your word today. Speak, Lord, for we, your people, are listening. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. Listen now for the word of God. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all of the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Next is verse 4 of God of Grace, God of Glory.
Turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. It is the Apostle Paul speaking to a struggling church. The church at Colossae had many influences, not all of them good, many of them divisive, and some of them even confusing. So Paul writes this: may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from God's glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and all patience, joyfully serving and giving thanks to God, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins. Christ is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation, for in Christ all things in heaven and on earth were created, things that are visible, things that are invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all these things have been created through Christ and for Christ. Christ is before all things, and in Christ all things hold together. Christ is the head of the body, the church. Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that Christ might come to have first place in everything. For in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile God's self to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of Jesus' cross. This is the word of the Lord. Before we launch into my message on Christ at the center, I want to make mention that as the fewer leaves are yet to fall from the trees, you'll notice that the slideshow has fewer leaves showing up in it. I got a little bit scolded last week for having too many leaves in my slides. So here you have a fewer slide set of PowerPoint. Every person builds life around something. They might build it around career. They might build it around family. Perhaps they build it around success. or a life built around comfort, and even lives built around approval. And whatever is at the center of life, that shapes everything else. I heard a story once about a man trying to hang a heavy mirror. And as he tried to get it in its right place on the wall, the heavy mirror wanted to shake itself loose from his hands. He kept measuring from the edges to get it right, centered on this space on the wall. But as he put one hole in, he noticed, well, it was off a little bit. So he put another hole in the wall. It was off a little bit. It was off a little bit every time he adjusted it. It just looked crooked, looked wrong. A carpenter friend walked over, tapped the middle of the frame and said, "You're measuring from the wrong point. Start from the center." And once that fella started from the center, the mirror aligned itself on that wall. Our spiritual life works in the same way. When Christ is not at the center, life looks a little crooked, a little askew. Our priorities, our emotions, even our relationships, as well as our identity. Something is just off, if only a little bit. When Christ is not at the center, life looks crooked. But when Christ becomes the center, things begin to align. Paul writes to the church at Colossae and says to the Colossians, Christ is not an addition to life. Christ is the center of life. I want to look at four different areas where this passage shows us this, at Christ at the center of life. Let's look first at our strength. Paul begins not with what we must do for Christ, but for what Christ supplies for us. To the church at Colossae, Paul prays that they would be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. This is not self-help. This is not grit and stamina in us. It is divine strength that is given to us. Strength for endurance, because so much of our testing is about endurance. It is strength in patience, and it is strength with joy. Endurance and patience. Endurance is the ability to stay standing under pressure. Patience is the staying gentle with difficult people. A pastor asked an older saint in his church, "How are you doing?" And she said to him, "I'm not under the circumstances, I'm on top of them." That's Christ-centered strength. Joyful gratitude. Even in difficulty, Christ gives joy. Not because life is easy, because Christ is present in that difficult moment. And that presence brings joy. Here's a practical step. When your day begins, pray this prayer. Christ, be my strength today. When irritated, Christ, be my patience in this moment. When discouraged and discouragement comes, pray this. Christ, be my joy. Christ isn't just the center of our strength. He is the center of our salvation as well. Paul says to us that God has rescued, God has transferred, God has redeemed and forgiven us. We've been rescued from darkness. We were not simply misguided. We were trapped. But God has reached down, grabbed us by the hand, pulled us up, and delivered us. A drowning man cannot save himself. A drowning man cannot simply be in the water and try harder. They need the help of someone else outside of them to reach down and reach into their drowning situation and pull them free. That's what Christ has done for us. He's transferred us into his kingdom. God didn't just pull us out of darkness. He brought us into a new place of standing and being, into the kingdom of God's Son, Jesus Christ, where we are immediately redeemed and forgiven, not partially forgiven, not temporarily forgiven, but fully, completely redeemed and forgiven. So for us, when guilt whispers to us, you're a liar, you're a cheat, you're a thief, we can say, I may have been that one time. I may have been that for much of my life, but that is not the truth for today. So when guilt whispers, speak verse 14 to your own heart. In Christ, we have redemption. So if Christ has saved us, that alone is enough to center our lives on him. But Paul wants to lift our eyes even a little higher than that. And he says it because Christ is the center of all creation. And here the Apostle Paul gives one of the most breathtaking descriptions of Jesus in our whole Bible. He is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what God looks like, acts like, look at Jesus. What is Jesus saying and doing? That's the image of the invisible God. All things were created through him and for him, which means our life is not random. These events that come up often move us in a new direction. These are things that God's plan to move us into being a new creation and in a new direction altogether. How many of you are puzzle makers, puzzle creators? I don't have the patience for much of that, but there was a child who was trying to put together a puzzle. The things he was missing was the center of that puzzle. And for him, nothing seemed to make sense. He couldn't quite put the puzzle pieces together. Well, many people are trying to build their lives while they're missing the center of life itself, Christ. It is Christ who holds all things together. As those who study the night sky, study so carefully, and even these days finding new galaxies, new planets, new things in our darkened space with those many, many stars shining in it. Christ holds those galaxies together, even if we don't know why those stars orbit like they do. Christ holds the galaxies together. When our attention turns away from the night sky and here at home, it is Christ who can hold your family together. In trying times, it is Christ who can hold your finances together. And of course, as we look to the future, that unknown piece of what is yet to be, it is comforting to know that Christ holds your future together. So reorder your schedule so that Christ isn't squeezed into the margins, but honored at the very center of life itself. Christ is not just the center of creation. He's also the center of the new creation God is forming. Christ is the head of the church. It is one of our outstanding statements of what we are as a Presbyterian church. Christ is the head. The church is not built around personalities, because personalities come and they go. The church is not built around programs. The church is not built around our preferences. Christ leads, and we follow. Christ is the firstborn from the dead. Christ began a whole new humanity through the resurrection. He doesn't just fix our past, where once we were a liar, a cheat, a criminal of one kind or another. No, he secures our future, and all the fullness of God dwells in him. Not a glimpse of God, not a minor portion. No, the fullness of God dwells in Jesus Christ. And he reconciles all things. Through the cross, Christ brings peace. Peace with God and peace within ourselves, as well as peace between one another. I remember years ago, through the work of Campus Crusade for Christ, they would have this little booklet called The Four Spiritual Laws. In there was this picture. And it was a picture of two cliffs. And on one side, perfect God, and on the other side of this cliff was we human beings, fallen, yet loved. And this gap between. But when you put the cross, it filled that gap, and suddenly those who are human and fallen, they could meet a holy and forgiving God. Christ becomes our bridge. In these days of needing bridges, because there are individuals and there are people on one side or another, where might Christ be calling me to be a peacemaker, to step into the gap and help bring people together? Where do I need to surrender control so that he can be the head of my life and this church? So what do we do? What do we do with all of this? We need to bring Christ back to the center. The Apostle Paul has shown us that Christ is big enough, Christ is strong enough, loving enough, powerful enough, and as well glorious enough to be the center of everything. Not just the edge, not the weekend, not plan B, but the center. So to each of us gathered here in worship, I ask, what sits at the center of your and my life today? Are there places where I've pushed Christ to those margins of my life? Is there one step? What's the one step I can take this week to recenter Christ in my life and my life in him? Christ is the strength we need. Christ is the Savior we trust. And Christ as well is the Creator we worship and the head we follow. So for us, may we place Christ where he truly belongs, not somewhere in our lives, but at the center. Christ is the center of everything.
Next is the hymn, To God Be the Glory.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Hear us in these beautiful words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Next is the hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Declaring Christ the King, the ruler over all creation. Go in courage, giving light to those who sit in darkness. May God strengthen your hands and fortify your hearts this day and every day. In the name of the Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer.